Anyone that's a fan of the Cubs, that's been a lifelong fan, I think you're going to find some new things maybe you didn't know, or you're going to remember a lot.
Yeah.
I think I bring up a lot of stuff that you might be like, man, I can't believe I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a Cubs fan, if your kids or your, you know, anyone of your relatives are just starting to get into the Cubs now,
yeah,
this is a perfect primer for you, a history lesson.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field, our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the
Jack Greenberg talking to John Hansen there, and I think you know the song. If these walls could talk, stories from the Chicago Cubs dugout, locker room, and press box, and John Greenberg working the Athletic now. Congratulations on that. We're talking about it off the air. And I think you guys are doing great stuff.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so I'm glad to have you on the show.
That's awesome.
And as
I have one fan.
This guy, well, your mom. This guy over here, Super Joe Romano, is a big fan as well. And and by the way, White Sox diehard. So the idea that he would promote a Cubs book, he had to throw open his mouth a little bit, but that's how much of a fan he is of what you're doing, too.
Well, he's a professional.
Yeah, that's it. It's tough, though. It's tough to find stories that haven't been told by the Cubs. And what you've done in this book is you found new angles to talk about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just took it through. I wanted to start through after the 03 season.
Yep.
I feel like we might have talked about the 03 a little bit, a few documentaries made.
Once or twice.
Right. So, you know, just going into, like, after that offseason, that was when I think they realized what they had, right? The owners of the Tribune Company was like, hey, we could actually try to win.
And Dave, I know you're as well. We were in a few of those meetings because, you know, having the Cubs on the radio for 85, 90
right.
years, we're going, well, how do we maximize this on all levels? And the optimism starting in 03 going through 9? Eight, nine?
Yeah, when the Lou Piniella era.
Yeah, I mean, we thought, this is it. The run's on.
Oh, 100%. I mean, think about that. I think about that a lot because I moved here in 03, and I'd lived here a couple summers before, so I was familiar. I'd vended at Wrigley Field.
Even is that right?
Yeah.
What'd you sell?
I was only 20, so I'd sold everything but beer.
That's a great story to tell, though, right?
Yeah, it was fun, man.
And that's real work. People don't understand. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the Athletic, we actually have we're doing like short films now, like documentary type stuff, and we're doing one on the beer vendors.
That's a great story.
And it's coming out in about a month or so.
That's a great story.
The old school guys have been there since the 60s.
Yeah,
and
interviewed
a bunch and followed them around. And I think about that because I did it 20 years ago this summer. Summer 99 and just
still have your ID?
Yeah, I do. That's, I do. Strange. I put it on my Instagram when we were doing the story, and it's going to be in the film because they interviewed me. But yeah, so like I think about that year a lot, and I think about that offseason of 03 going into 04 and just the crazy optimism here and how that season is kind of where I start really encapsulated the Cubs experience because it was sky-high optimism. They had the pieces, and then it was just what a bitter collapse that year was.
But what people don't remember, and we've talked about this a million times, forget about Bartman for a second.
Yeah.
It's game 7. Woody's on the mound, right? Woody hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And was it the second or third inning?
Yeah.
There has never been that kind of noise on the north side before or since. And I'll throw the World Series in as well. And then all the air got let out of the balloon.
Absolutely. I mean,
but it's what you said. It's the perfect analogous situation for the Cubs. Yes, no. You know, it's right there. You know, we got it done, and now we don't.
And that's what the next few years were like, right? Because then you go, the years after 04, 05 was mediocre. 06 was terrible. Then they build it up again, you know, obviously thinking the Trib's getting sold.
Yeah.
They want to sell the Cubs.
Well, Piniella became a friend, and bringing in Piniella, a proven winner.
Absolutely.
You thought this could be done, and then two quick outs, and his mom got sick, and you're going, oh, boy, we're back on the dark side.
Right, and, you know, I talk about that offseason. I talked to Hendry. We went in a little bit more on the Lilly story, which is like a classic now winter meeting story that Hendry has to talk about every year when he signed Ted Lilly, and he was in the hospital, and he kind of went into what really happened and the conversations he's having with doctors. Right, you sign Lou, proven winner. You get Soriano. I mean, it was just everything. It was boom, boom, boom.
Nobody knew Zambrano was nuts at that point.
He was ascendant.
Yeah.
You know, you move past the Pryor and Wood stuff, that really kind of, that dark cloud, and it was this new beginning. 08, everyone in the world thought they were going to win it that year, the perfect symmetry. And I had a really good talk with Ryan Dempster for this book about how he felt starting that game, game one of the 08, when he walked 7. And he now, in retrospect, 10 years later, he could talk about how he let his expectations get the best of him, and how he really, you know, he used to sit in the bullpen. He was in the bullpen, so he became friends with the fans there, like personal friends with people that sat behind the bullpen. And he's like, I'm thinking about these people. I want to win it for this guy. I want to win it for this person. I want to win it for the clubbies. You know, and he's like, that was just the worst attitude to have, and it ruined me. He's like, it ruined me that start. And he's like, it really haunted him, he said, for a long time.
You know, I know you've come across this, and again, the guest is John Greenberg. The book is If These Walls Could Talk. Get 2-3 copies. You're careless. You might leave one behind. You'll have extras.
Might leave one at
download
ballpark.
One.
Father's Day's
on.
Come. I mean, Father's Day
dad,
this weekend.
And why couldn't you buy one for some other dad you know? Come on, you cheapskate. Yeah. Get a bunch of these. I have no idea what I was going to say because I was so hard selling your book. What you've done here in taking the modern history obviously takes it through the World Series.
Yeah, well. and the past 2 years as well.
And now you're in a position where you go, okay, it's 2 years. Are they going to do it again, or are we on another 108, 110-year slide here?
Yeah, that's you know, it was kind of tough because I ended this, you know, I ended the book. They let me kind of add on some stuff late. You know, I turned it in December and added some stuff January and February, and just a long conversation I had with Theo Epstein in his office in January is in there. It was a real unknown going into this season, and you know, it's still an unknown. Obviously, we didn't think in this book. I didn't predict they were going to sign Craig Kimbrell. I didn't predict that money was going to be freed there. But yeah, they're in a real unknown here. And if this team goes, no matter what, this team's a success because of all the playoff appearances they've made. That's the foundation for sustained success. Theo talked about when he got hired, but this is supposed to be more multiple World Series. I mean, that was what they were built for with the young talent.
And there's a little bit of sensitivity here with the Bears of 85 that should have won 10 in a row, and they got one.
And in some ways, yeah, 100% on that, but in some ways it's even bigger because the Cubs were younger when they won.
Great point.
Were really young.
Great point.
And, you know, they have the money. Now they've got their stadium. They got everything rebuilt after all the whining and complaining. They got everything they wanted, you know, and now they've got a new TV station starting. That's going to start money. You know, they left their longtime home here high and dry for some quick cash down the street. And, you know, they've got enough. They've got no excuses anymore. There's no money excuses. There's no farm system excuses.
I want to get Joe and John and obviously Dave in here. We're going to take a quick break. But before we do, what you just brought up I think is important because we know teams that find a way to make money off the field and they either forget about the core product on the field or they're so distracted by the big business that maybe the thing starts to break down. The Cubs are printing money.
Printing.
With the Wrigleyville situation and the way they've bought all the land and they're blowing it up and stuff. Is that good or a distraction based on what we know right now?
It's good. You know, this was a problem for Theo in Boston. And he talked about this, and I've talked to him about it. That was a problem when he had to go to meetings with Nesson executives saying they needed sexier players to sell to the female audience. They literally said that to him. And they used, for some reason, Dustin Pedroia as an example, which Theo thought was kind of weird.
Even guys sexier than Dustin Pedroia.
Right. It was really, he thought, and that, but that's when he did the Adrian Gonzalez deal, and he felt like that pushed him. I think he, because he's had that experience, he has a firm take on keeping it on the field. Ricketts aren't obsessed with glamour. They're not Tom Werner.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do think they're worried about the core product. But yeah, that is, we've thought about this a lot, especially with the new TV network starting. They got to make sure they stay focused on the core part of the field and not everything else.
And the partner they have is, I'm not thrilled about, but that's a different story. More coming up with John Greenberg. Dave Ennett will take over and actually do a real interview in just a second. If These Walls Could Talk is the book and more in a moment.
Talking baseball. Lazuski Campanella talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller.
If These Walls Could Talk, Chicago Cubs history. In modern days, the dugout, the locker room, the press box, the stories from 2003 to yesterday. John Greenberg's here. John runs the Athletic Chicago and Super Joe, you're on the Athletic all day long, aren't you?
I sure am. Yeah. Proud subscriber.
All right, so Dave, let's start with you. Take over.
Okay, so John, you detail the transition, first of all, when Dale Swaim was let go as manager. That didn't work out too well for the Cubs. Rick Renteria comes in, is widely regarded as doing a good job with the team and some of the young guys who are starting to come up. And then the transition to Joe Maddon, which comes after the Cubs had said Renteria was coming back as manager. With that all in mind, with this kind of the shadow hovering around Maddon and his contract situation now, should we be surprised that Joe Maddon's a lame duck manager here after doing what everybody said you couldn't do in Chicago and take the Cubs to a World Series title?
A little bit, but I mean then two things there. One, he won in the second year of his contract. So then you got 3 years left. You know, and that makes it tough to do any. You know, yeah, they could have tacked on a couple more years, but I guess they, whatever. But also, I mean, we all remember the World Series, you know, and it wasn't Joe's, like, masterwork. You know, and I talked, I have a quote from Hendry in here, say, or at least a paraphrase, saying he was rooting for Joe when he was sitting in his Park Ridge house because he knew if they lost, he was going to get killed for the way he handled the bullpen. He's like, I just thought this guy is going to get murdered in Chicago. And like, there was questions like, would they, I don't think they would have fired him, but like, they were not happy. I mean, and it's easy for those guys to second guess decisions when they're sitting in the seats and Joe's on the field making them, you know, it normal game speed time. So in theory, yeah, it's weird, but in reality, no, it kind of makes sense. Now, I do think, but going into the season, I thought Joe's a lame duck. Now, I think they re-sign him, and they put him back on the time. They have a timeline here for 2021.
But let me ask both you guys something, and Joe Romano, jump in on this as well. If Joe Girardi wasn't available, would this conversation even be going on? Because if Girardi's out there, and I know he's getting offers from everybody,
right,
don't the Cubs have to think about it?
Yeah, you know, I would love to know, and they don't really kind of tell you all this stuff even behind the scenes, but whether they would want Girardi, whether Girardi's a Theo type of guy, whether they would mesh.
Fair enough.
You know, Girardi's a pretty strong personality and has his own ways of doing things, and that's always the question. Now, I don't think Theo actually wants to run the team. Like, people always say, oh, they want to run from the... He doesn't want the responsibility of doing that, but he wants someone who's going to listen and agree with him a lot of times, in that he likes people to disagree, but I think they want someone who thinks how they think in certain ways.
Go back to the 2021 timeline. What does that mean for the Cubs?
Well, you look, and you can go on Cott's contracts. I wrote about a story the other day. A lot of contracts are expiring after that season, or a lot of guys can go free agent if they don't get extended, like Baez and Bryant.
KB, yeah.
Right, KB and Javi, most notably. Theo's contract is up after 2021. And in, you know, so is Jed Hoyer's and Jason McLeod's, but really, Theo's the one who said 10 years is a good time to stay at a place. And that would be 10 years. That would be the 10th year. There's also a few other, like, there's a lot of people like up around that time, and they just signed Kimbrel through that season with an option after that year. Even Rizzo's done after that year. His last contract option is 2021 for the team. So that would be the kind of de facto deadline right now. I don't think it has to be.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
But it makes sense, exactly.
Completely. If These Walls Could Talk is a book, John Greenberg, Joe Romano.
You know, my question is kind of course, I'm going to bring up the White Sox.
You're going to work them in.
Yeah, so one thing that frustrates me as a White Sox fan is the constant comparison in the rebuild to what the Cubs did. I think, you know, each rebuild is unique. Can you talk about just how much the Cubs did in order to rebuild that the team? You know, not just like falling into Chris Bryant because the Astros passed on him, and, you know, the great trade for Jake Arrieta.
Well, it is unique. And the White Sox, in a lot of ways, had a big leg up because they had two guys in their prime they could trade in Sale and Quintana. And I'm sure Sox fans like you wondered, like, wait, why couldn't you build a winning team around these two instead of trading them? That's what, you know, a problem a lot of people had. The Cubs didn't really have that. If you look at the team they had, they didn't have a lot of assets to trade. Farm system wasn't quite as bad as people made it out to be, but it wasn't great. So they did, you know, you look at 13 was a terrible year on the field, but there was a few week span there where they made their biggest deals, right? They draft Bryant, that the Arrieta trade. I think that was the year that they trade for Edwards that year too, I believe. Yeah. So I was going through with someone else. That's when they signed Eloy and Gleybar. And it was all kind of like boom, boom, boom in that little stretch. And that's really where they remade the core of their team. And the funny thing, I wrote about this in the book, and I wrote about the time in 16 for The Athletic. The White Sox were very close to trading for Jake Arrieta. Not very, very close, but they were close.
Is that right?
They were going to trade Jesse Crane for him because the Orioles were going, they're a playoff team and they needed relief. Jesse Crane had like a 1-something ERA, and they were talking. It was exploratory talks. They're like, wait, he's got a little bit of an elbow problem. Let's let him rest. Like, well, how is he? And they're like, well, Rick's like, I don't know. Jesse Crane never pitched again. And they swung the deal for Arrieta instead.
Ah, baseball. John?
I just wonder if you run into any fans that feel like me, that because they won the World Series, I don't, in my lifetime, I'm not that big a deal if they don't win it again. I'm like, oh my God, it happened. It finally happened.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
No, I think there's a lot of people like that. I think every fan is different. You know, what drives a fan. I kind of, you know what, after I'm a Steelers fan, I'm from that area,
mm-hmm.
And after this, I went to that Super Bowl where they beat the Seahawks in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one of me, besides being a one-year-old, you know, that I could actually remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did change a little bit. I think that, you know, that one for the thumb thing.
Yeah.
I was still into it, and I was into it again when they won again.
But you could exhale.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, I think there, because the a lot of the Cubs, the narrative around the Cubs was tied around that one thing. You know, there should be, you know, there should be satisfaction. You should feel satisfaction in life. You know, you shouldn't be in a constant state of agitation. So I think
well,
it's
that is true,
thing.
But you could also make the argument, right, that with the talent on this team, you could also be the New England Patriots and, you know, or the 85 Bears with the extended run. Last word, Dave.
Kyle Schwarber, permanent leadoff hitter for this team now?
There's nothing permanent with Joe Maddon.
No,
so.
Of course not.
So, but, no, but I think
but it sure seems like he's the guy.
I think it's really nice because that was, remember, that basically destroyed him. In 17, when they put him in leadoff, and he never really, we just pretended like, oh, he's healthy, he's fine, because he had that adrenaline pumping return to the World Series where he DH'd, and he wasn't ready, and I think that really ruined him that year. For the first half of the year, was that pressure he put on himself, and I like it that he is doing well again there. I really like Kyle Schwarber, and that story, and I detail it in the book of him coming back for that World Series. It was amazing because it actually overshadowed the Cubs being on the precipice of it for a day.
Yeah.
And we actually broke that. Saadav Sharma, my writer, had it early, very early. So much so that I couldn't believe it. And we broke that story, and it was one of my favorite stories I've ever covered. So I'm happy for him. I hope he excels in that spot.
Ben Zobrist ever coming back?
You know, Theo sounded a lot more yesterday in L.A., yesterday, our writer was there, and sounded a lot more hopeful. I never thought he was 100% retired. Who knows? It's such a personal thing. They've really kept a tight lid. They're not even like saying stuff off the record to us about it, at least not to me.
Well, it's not, you know, this is the thing. If you're famous, it doesn't mean it's your business. You know,
he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and he's going through a thing, and it doesn't matter.
He's got kids. For right? being supportive.
I totally agree.
They're totally really agree. And like, you know, you go back to the Tommy La Stella stuff. I give them a lot of credit for being supportive when, you know, other teams wouldn't be. I give those guys credit. So buy my book. You know, here you'll read all about it.
What book? If These Walls Could Talk. Stories from the Chicago Cubs dugout, locker room, press box, everywhere books are sold. John Greenberg from The Athletic. Read John, The Athletic Chicago, and get on and subscribe and be there as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. The best interview I've done.
Well, I appreciate you being here.